the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the R Esquina Podcast Network. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr. and with me as always is Alex Aguilera. And Alex, this is our 10th episode. This is a landmark episode for us, Alex. Yeah, I know it doesn't seem like it, but 10 episodes in. How do you think that we've done in those 10 episodes, Alex?
You know, as sort of, I guess, first-timer podcasters, I mean, I know we've both been guest stars, or whatever you want to call it, on podcasts.
Ooh, I like that, guest stars. Yeah. Instead of guest hosts, we were guest stars because we knew at that time that we needed our own show.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, it's been fun. 10 episodes feels weird. Not that it's 100 episodes, but it's like, man, already.
We'll get there eventually.
But man, yeah, it feels kind of odd how time has flown already, how much we've gotten to know each other. And yeah, man, it's been cool.
Because, yeah, you know, we should say something to our loyal listeners that we were just kind of thrown together when this podcast, you know, I didn't know him before R Esquina was launched. I'm happy to have met Alex because, you know, we have a lot in common besides basketball. But I agree. I think it's been great getting to know each other and through basketball. And, you know, we see basketball through different eyes. Some more of the a little, not old, but a more early 90s basketball. And, you know, and you come at it from a more of a 2000s basketball. So it's awesome. But I think, you know, the Basketball Fiends Podcast, it's, I want to know how we're doing in 50 episodes in, because it definitely took me a little while to get used to my voice. I don't know if that's an issue you had, Alex.
Nah, man, same. When I first heard the first couple episodes, I was like, oh my God, man, I hate, you know, that cliche, hearing yourself talk. I'm like, what the hell? But I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to it, so.
I mean, the way I saw it is like, well, my voice isn't changing anymore, so this is it.
Yeah, I know.
It is what it is, right?
Right, I can't really change it now, so I don't know. At least it's not high-pitched for me, so that's what I'm
right.
That's what there I'm okay go. With.
Yeah. Well, you know who's sizzling right now to transition into our first NBA topic? The Miami Sizzling Heat, as I've been calling
sizzling
it recently,
heat.
Alex. They are sizzling heat. You like that? Because they are sizzling. Since Jimmy Butler came back, the Heat are sizzling. And let's be honest, they had a slow start to this season. You know, they were hit with injuries. They were hit with COVID protocols. But since Jimmy Butler came back from that COVID protocol, they have shown, this team has shown why they made a run to the NBA Finals last season, Alex.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Like, Miami right now is like that plate of fajitas that you see at the restaurant.
Yes.
When you order something and then you hear the sizzling and you're like, what's that? And you're like, damn, I should have ordered that. That's what the Miami Heat, that's what the Miami Heat are right now. And, I mean, like you said, Jimmy Butler coming back, you know, he's the alpha male. He is that dude on the Miami Heat that's going to, you know, carry this team to success. We saw it last season carrying them to the finals, and we're seeing it now that they've climbed to the fourth seed in the East. He's averaging like, what is it, 21 points,
yep,
like 7 rebounds, 7 assists. So, I mean, he's putting up some really solid numbers. And I know they most recently at the recording of this show, they played the Cavs and he put up 28 and 12 rebounds, which again, I mean, that's just any
basic
given
for Jimmy. You know, that's just a, you know, that's just a regular old Jimmy Butler kind of night.
Right, man.
Because you've come to expect it from him. Look, since Butler returned on January 30, the Heat are 15-5. Well, I know you said they were playing today as of this recording, but they have the best defensive rating, and according to Cleaning the Glass, are the 7th best point differential in the league. So this team knows what it takes to win. When it has all its pieces, it knows what it takes to win. But here's another thing that I want to say is the Heat, I don't want to say they don't care about the regular season, but they're not putting as much of an importance on the regular season. You know, they got a taste of the NBA Finals last year, and they know that, hey, they know that they don't need to be a top seed to make it to the NBA Finals. They have enough confidence, and the front office has enough confidence in that team to know that, hey, just get us into the playoffs. That's all the Miami Heat need.
Yeah, no, I think Miami sort of has that play smarter, not harder mentality. I mean, I think still it's a scrappy team. I mean, like you said, they're a very good defensive team. I look at guys like, you know, kind of Kendrick Nunn out there that I don't think gets enough credit. Obviously, Duncan Robinson, he's your, you know, three-point guy. You got Tyler Hero coming off the bench. Avery Bradley.
Whose name has been thrown around in some trade rumors here and there.
Right. And they also just got Trevor Ariza.
They just got Trevor Ariza after they traded Myers Leonard, which we're not even going to get into that topic.
Yeah,
that's
a whole nother thing. But, you know, I feel like Miami, you know, sort of has this groove where they know where to put their energy. if that's what you want to call it, where it isn't like they aren't trying, but they, you know, hey, come playoff time, you know we need to go all out per se. But at the same time, I mean, Miami just kind of knows, like, hey, Jimmy Butler is going to be your alpha male, you know, moving forward. You definitely know what you're going to get out of Bam Adebayo. You know that they're going to be a solid defensive team. So, I mean, it's just them, like, hey, we're going to play how we're going to play. And, you know, whatever happens at the end of the regular season, you know, whatever it may be, we just know come playoff time, we're going to be ready.
I mean, look, the Heat got heat for not trading for James Harden. But I think it's a situation where the front office knows what it has. You know, they have full trust in the team that they build. Some of the names that were thrown that for the potential James Harden trade was Tyler Hero, and you know, I'm blanking out on the Precious. Precious was another name that was thrown around, and these were players that the Heat just didn't feel comfortable giving up because they knew what they had in those players. They knew how these players had helped them in last year's playoffs. So, you know, Precious is a rookie, if I'm not mistaken, or second year. But Tyler Hero especially, you know. So this is a team that knows what it has, and they're going to ride it. But here's the thing. There may be some more trades happening. You know, they've still been named with the possible Victor Oladipo pickup, which Victor Oladipo himself, it's been reported. I don't know if he's confirmed it, but it's been reported that he is looking at the Heat as a possible offseason destination once he's in free agent after this season. So the Heat may not be completely done shuffling pieces, but I doubt it'll be any of their prime pieces, obviously.
No, not at all. Like a guy like Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, like, you know, those guys aren't going anywhere whatsoever. But I think what I like about the team is just, you know, you have this mix of youth and veteranship. If that's a word, youth and experience. Yes. I mean, you got Udonis Haslem there too, who, I mean, doesn't get the minutes that he used to. But man, you talk about a mentor and a leader on that team. You know, he's your guy. And just looking at the team, like, it's such an attractive destination for players. I mean, I don't blame Victor Oladipo wanting to go to Miami. Like, I think he would fit well into that system. You figure laying off some of the, you know, scoring burden off Jimmy, you can spread that out with Oladipo along with Bam, and you got that 3-point shooting from Duncan Robinson, and I freaking forgot about Goran Dragic. So
I was just gonna mention Dragic. We cannot forget about him, a veteran that can still get it done. Last year's NBA Finals could be a different series if the Heat have their full squad. Maybe it goes seven. Maybe Lakers still win, but they push it to that seven game.
I'm a full believer that they would have gone seven if Miami was fully loaded.
For same. Sure. I'm in the same boat. And now from the fourth seed, the Miami Heat, we go to the fifth seed, the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets are must-watch TV, Alex.
No, it's weird to say that the Charlotte Hornets are kind of fun to watch. Like, I mean, I remember when they were the Bobcats, it was just like, okay, it's the Bobcats, and then they became the Hornets.
It's the Bobcats.
Right, it's the Bobcats. And then when they became the Hornets, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool, but... And dude, like you said, it's a fun team.
It's a fun team, and you know, I wanna. I don't know if it's been said out there, but I'm gonna say it's the LaMelo Ball effect. You know, he's made the Hornets team a team you want to watch on League Pass or anytime they're on national TV. I mean, we've seen some of the passes that LaMelo can make. He has every single pass in his arsenal behind the back, the, you know, touchdown pass, the between the legs, the no look, the any pass you can name, he can make it. But I also have to be honest, it's more than just LaMelo. The Hornets had a stellar offseason. And I know stellar, you may think, well, who did they sign? I mean, aside from Gordon Hayward, they didn't sign anybody that's going to jump out at you. But they got Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller. Solid role players that know what it takes to win. And then you pair them up with Terry Rozier, still young, PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, Devontae Graham, and Malik Monk. And I have to say, Terry Rozier has definitely stepped up this year. He is their closer of the game. He is their guy.
Dude, I love Terry Rozier. That is my dude, man. He's a cold-blooded killer out there. I loved him when he was with the Celtics. I was just like, man, dude, like, you know, when the trade happened, I was like, honestly, you know, before that, you know, Kyrie trade, I was like, honestly, for Boston, after Isaiah, like Terry Rozier, I thought was going to be that guy. And I'm glad that he's, you know, found that opportunity in Charlotte. I mean, he's putting up like, what is it career numbers that he's putting up? I know he's putting up like 20 points.
Gordon Hayward is their leading scorer, but Terry Rozier is like off by like 0.5 or 0.7. So it's like they go back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to have that balance where it's like LaMelo, you know, he's going to be your playmaker, you know, getting, you know, 7-8 assists, whatever. You know, Hayward is probably going to be your main scorer, but you know that Terry Rozier is going to be your closer.
Your closer. Which yes, is you know, really they have nice. Defined roles. Yeah, just just like you're saying, they have their defined roles, and they know, hey, we need a bucket leading games. Scary Terry, go get it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're calling him. Mm-hmm. But back to LaMelo for a second. If his current average is whole, he'll be only the fifth rookie in NBA history to average 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. That's why I'm calling it the LaMelo Ball effect, because when you see LaMelo Ball, and you know, we've talked a lot about LaMelo Ball, surprisingly, in the 10 episodes we've done of the Basketball Fiends, we've talked about LaMelo quite plenty, but there's a reason to it. You see how he plays, the game just comes natural to him, and I think that rubs off on the rest of the team, you know, and credit goes to coach James Borrego for installing an offense that takes advantage of all the talent he has. The Hornets are tied for second in assists per game, number two in passes made per game, and number one points created by assist.
I also like that they're a really good like free throw shooting team.
They're really, I know, and none of that is one thing I know that you like is free throws. Hey, they're free. You better make them. They're free.
Exactly, man. All those points count. And I was another guy I just want to mention really quick is Devontae Graham.
Yeah, yeah. I think as Devontae well. Graham.
It's sort of like your second guy.
Yes.
As your two guard. I mean, hey, if Terry Rozier has an off night, you know, Devontae Graham is definitely a capable player of picking up the slack, when a guy is having an off night. So, I mean, it's a young team. I mean, they still have a little bit of ways to go. But I think, like we said, with some other teams that, you know, are with the Knicks. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Yes.
Is that, you know, the Hornets are in a good spot and heading in a good direction.
Definitely. You know, playoffs are clearly in their future. You know, as soon as this season, I think they have enough to make the playoffs, maybe a first round exit, but still a playoff appearance for this team, a young team, will only bode well for them. You know, they're all going to grow together. They have a good nucleus of veterans where they're still not really veterans. I mean, their veterans are who? Gordon Hayward, Bismack Biyombo, Cody Seller. I mean, you know, like, they're still like kind of youngish, you know. So they're definitely trending in the right position, and I like it because I think Charlotte Hornets, they deserve to have good basketball. I know I definitely watched a lot of games of them in the 90s with Muggsy Bogues, Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson. So it's good that the Charlotte Hornets are back and are must watch TV. Another player that is must watch TV. Is Dame Lillard. And I bring up Dame Lillard because the Portland Trailblazers are our next topic. And more specifically is how the Portland Trailblazers just got some help back recently. Oh, there's the alarm, see? How the Portland Trailblazers just got some help back because CJ McCollum returned from injury. Alex, how much help is CJ going to give the Blazers?
A ton, man, a ton. Once, you know, he's fully 100%, I mean, I know he's back and he's playing again. I think he only had 10 points on 3 of 11 again in that win over the Pelicans where Lillard put up like 50 piece in a 17 point victory. And don't get me wrong, like Damian Lillard can carry the load, but it's nice to once again, you know, have his the Robin to his Batman per se.
Well, for sure. You know, look, CJ is gonna help take some of the load off Dame Lillard, because Lillard was having this crazy scoring outputs because he had to do that for the team. Now, but it has to be said, you know, props to Lillard and the rest of the Blazers for keeping the ship steady in CJ's absence. Lillard of note has just been bonkers. But I mean, let's be honest. Who doesn't love Lillard? A true underdog story.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know, I just want to say, you know, there's Lillard. We all know him because of Dame Time, right? It's Dame Time. And another word for Dame Time, we can also say it's clutch. So here's some stats about Lillard in the clutch. And the clutch is defined as the score differential is 5 or less with less than 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's how the statisticians define clutch. So Lillard leads the league in clutch scoring with 124 points, clutch points per game 5.6, and shooting 55% from three in the clutch and 60% field goal in the clutch. That is why they call the clutch Dame Time.
Yeah, man. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But I mean, I wanted to touch on a point that you made, that the Blazers have kept a steady ship since CJ McCollum has been out. They've been like 14-11 without him. So I mean, a little bit over 500, which is, you know, fine. They're, I believe, a sixth seed in the West. Yeah, they're 23-16 as a sixth seed in the West. So I mean, they've held their own, and I think that's definitely something to take note of, especially a player of McCollum's caliber. You know, for the Blazers to be able to, you know, hold it down. I mean, obviously they're not the best team in the West, but to maintain a playoff position in a pretty, you know, solid Western Conference just shows not only just the depth, I think, of the Blazers, but also to just how damn good Damian Lillard is.
Exactly. And I think it also has to be said, before CJ McCollum got injured, he was having an all-star type season. Many had predicted before he got injured that he would have made his first all-star, which it's weird to say that CJ has never made an all-star. He now I think about it, and yeah, he's that kind of player where, oh, he hasn't made an all-star? Would you just think he has? But because he's just been
that's
such steady.
Odd. That's weird.
Right? But he was well on his way to making an all-star appearance before he got hurt. So, and I think there's enough time for CJ to kind of find his rhythm. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, he only had 10 points. But still, he's finding his way back after this injury. He has to get that confidence back. But once he does, I expect him to pick up right where he left off before the injury.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he said that, you know, his foot feels good. Obviously, he had a broken foot. You know, that was the injury that he had, and he was in that boot cast for 5 weeks, and I mean, couldn't run, couldn't do much or anything like that. I remember Coach had mentioned as well that his legs looked a little heavy, you know, towards the end of the game, which is what you would expect when a guy comes from a leg injury like right. that it's going to take some time for him to really, you know, get fully in the groove of things. So, I mean, you can't, you know, panic over a 10-point game from CJ McCollum coming off after a broken foot. So, I mean, I have no worries. He'll be good.
Yeah, they'll be good. And look, in the tough West, the Portland Trailblazers need CJ McCollum. They need that second punch, because it's going to be a tough Western Conference. And but the Blazers, what they showed me without CJ, now that they get CJ back, if CJ can find his rhythm again, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a run into. They have the potential to make a deep run into the playoffs. You know, and Dame Lillard is a big part of that, a big, big part of that. And you know, one place where Dame Lillard really made his name too was March Madness, Alex. And March Madness is back this year after cancellation last year. Alex, I know you're, both of us, you watch more college basketball than me. How excited are you for March Madness?
Dude, I am hyped. Like, I can't. Oh my God, dude. Like, I'm so excited.
Take a deep breath, Alex. Take a deep breath.
I know. I got to take a little breath. And also, too, my alma mater, which feels weird to say because I just graduated, like, not even a year ago, but Illinois is the number one seed. They're the real Big Ten champs. They just beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. And
by the way, I gotta say, I love the picture. I can't remember the player from Illinois that he imitated or paid homage to Kobe Bryant.
Ayodesumu.
Wow, yeah, Ayodesumu. That was nice. I like that.
Fun fact: a little bit about Ayo is I technically went to high school with him.
Oh.
For I think a year, so he was a freshman, I was a junior, and so I went to Westinghouse College Prep, shout out to my other alma mater, and he was a freshman there, and I remember hearing talks. I had a friend on the basketball team, and he was saying, you know, that they had just gotten this freshman that's, you know, pretty good, and it turned out to be Io. He had transferred over to Morgan Park, which is sort of a basketball powerhouse in Chicago. Won a couple state titles there, and when he came to Illinois, man, people got excited because what we're seeing right now, this is what we saw from the get-go.
Wow. Well, it's definitely, I know you're excited, but I know a lot of people are excited. March Madness is back. You know, it's such a national phenomenon that, you know, there has been studies done about March Madness, about how much work hours are lost during March Madness because workers are so invested into the game. And I think it's just gotten worse and worse over the years, especially as gambling and fantasy football, fantasy basketball and all these kind of things, you know, and with the rise of social media, even more so. So I know people are just amping for this tournament to start. And my next question to you, Alex, is have you filled out your bracket yet?
Yeah, I did five.
Five brackets? Oh, my God.
No, dude, that's nothing. I got a friend that he legitimately did, like, he set up to 80?
80 brackets?
Because he's in, you know, different pools or whatever. I'm just in one. I'm taking it a little light this year.
Okay.
I think I'm just going to do only one pool. But, yeah, dude, I think I got a friend. He legit said he did close to 80 or something like that.
Oh, my
God. And I don't think he was kidding.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's the highest. I didn't know. I didn't think it was that deep. Now, let me ask you, does the first four play into this? Because I think the last time I filled a bracket, the first four wasn't instituted yet. Does that count as part of the bracket? You have to get the first four correct?
The first four in is like a playing game to fill out the round of 64.
Okay.
So, I mean, you don't necessarily have to. Like, when I filled out my bracket, there were some seeds that were like empty, and it was because it was the play-in game.
Yeah.
So you could see like a projection of like, you know, who might, you know, be the play-in team, and you could kind of figure like, okay, that team might win. So I don't look into it too much as a make or break for your bracket, but it is something to kind of like look out for, like, okay, like which team do you project to, you know, face off in this 6-11 matchup.
Got it. Now, it's something interesting because clearly you just said you're an Illinois college fan, and I went to the University of Houston, and the Cougs had a stellar season, number 2 seed in the Midwest. But who's the number 1 seed in the Midwest, Alex?
The Illinois Fighting Illini. Let's go.
So there's a chance that Illinois and Houston, which I think that's who my prediction is for the Midwest. I think it's going to be one of them two to come out of the Midwest. But enough about our teams. You know, people want to hear about more than just Illinois and Houston. Who do you think has an honest chance at winning this college title this year? Obviously, I know you want Illinois to win.
Right,
and
yeah.
They actually, I mean, let's be honest. They definitely have a chance to win it. They're a one seed for a reason. But if not Illinois, then who do you think?
It's a little kind of basic, but I do look at Gonzaga and Baylor.
Yep.
Gonzaga just through and through just has a really good team. I mean, they went undefeated too.
Undefeated.
Gonzaga's always had a good basketball program, and I think this time around, this could be the year where they take it. And Baylor too. Baylor is a really good
defensive
team.
Before you get to Baylor, I want to touch upon Gonzaga because I think you hit up on something. They've had good teams in the past. They've gotten to, I want to say, to the final previously too, and they just haven't been able to just take that next little step to actually win it. But I'm in agreement with you. I think this is the year. I think Gonzaga is their best chance. Out of all the past teams they've had, I have never seen a as talented as Gonzaga team as this one.
Yeah, I remember there was that one year they had Adam Morrison when they were supposed to make a run. They got upset. And then I think most recently was 2018. They played Villanova.
Yeah.
And they lost in the national title game. Why do I remember? Because I remember where I was sitting when the game was was happening. And I remember everyone was talking about Rui Hachimura, who's playing for the Wizards now, and how, you know, he was going to be the guy to bring it home for Gonzaga. And, I mean, it didn't happen. But, no, I mean, Gonzaga looks, dude, they look good. And I say Baylor as well because Illinois actually did play Baylor earlier this year. And unfortunately, we did lose. But, man, dude, Baylor, I think as a defensive team, man, they will lock you down, dude.
Baylor,
they definitely gave our guys some trouble.
Yes, they have. Baylor has turned into basketball college town because the women's basketball team is just as good, if not better, than the men's. So, you know, yes, I think Baylor has a great chance to advance. There's definitely nobody in the South that I think can maybe take a. I mean, Ohio State, you know, because they're the 2 seed, you could say they might give them. But seriously, I don't. It wouldn't surprise me if all the 1 seeds make it to the Final Four.
I'm right with you there. This time around, and normally when I do brackets, I don't like to pick the 1 seeds going all the way.
Because it's like really obviously, right? But this year, I think what you were about to hit on is you can legit say that every one seed it could win it.
Mm-hmm. I think one 2 seed that I could see making a Final Four run is Alabama. I watched them play a little bit in the SEC, and you know they got a little squad over there. I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm an expert on any of these teams. I can only say that about Illinois because I covered the team, you know, in my time over there. But Alabama is definitely another team that I can see, you know, making a run and possibly, you know, giving Gonzaga, you know, some troubles if they just so happen to meet in the Final Four. But yeah, it's definitely an not that it isn't ever intriguing each year to look at the bracket, but you know, it's kind of, I'm trying to pick out those upsets. For the most part, that's sort of like my big thing when it comes to brackets is picking out those upsets, because they can be tricky, man. They can be real tricky.
They can be tricky. And you know, as much as we say, hey, this is the year all 4 seeds legit have a chance, people have said that in the past, and 1 seeds have gotten upset. So just as much as we say that, just as easily any one of these number 1 seeds can get upset as they progress in their bracket. You know, we haven't even touched about Texas. Texas is finally in a really good position after not having good past tournaments. You know, they finally got to have a good team this season as well. But Michigan, you know, we didn't really talk motto. I mean, yes, we said the number 1 seed, but Michigan has a solid squad as well. So it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. We did stop Michigan by 20 points in Ann Arbor.
That was me poking the bear, Alex. That was me poking you. I was like, no, let me set up this alley-oop for Alex. Yep, he got it. He got it. He's throwing it down.
Once you brought up Michigan, I was like, all right, dude, I'm gonna rip on Michigan right about now because you destroyed them and should have been the regular season Big Ten champs. But you know why it's okay? Because we took care of business in the conference tournament.
There it is. That's what it's all about. So yeah, it should be fun. I expect ratings to be through the roof just because, you know, mainly because there was no tournament last year and people are aching for this. And, you know, gamblers love this time. They love it because the point swings and it's just, yeah, people are going to make money off of this tournament.
The over-unders, the parlays. Like, I'm glad I haven't, like, totally gotten into it. My uncle, you know, likes to bet. I will say he bet on Michigan over Illinois. But
I hope you had a talking to him about that.
I've been meaning to text him, and I will. I don't know why he didn't reach out to me for that, because sometimes he
funny how that works, huh? Funny how that works.
And I was just like, huh, okay, I see how it is. Like, you know, I covered this team a couple years.
He must have got busy.
I guess. I was just like, hey, man, I was on the baseline, you know, recording, you know, highlights just about every single game for 3 years, man. I could have given you a little tip, you know, here and there. So, you know, it is what it is. Whatever.
Whatever. But yeah, so March Madness, listeners are listening to this on Friday. So by now, I have my bracket filled out. And I will have, you know what, I'm going to go for the upset. I'm going to say U of H advances to the Final Four and beats Illinois. That's my pick, Alex. I don't think they'll make it to the championship, but I think they're going to beat Illinois. Okay. Upset. Your face is it all. Listeners, okay. I can see Alex's face. He has this face of you just don't know what you got coming with Illinois.
Dude, you don't even know. You're not ready, man. You're not ready.
Is there, how big is Illinois there in Chicago? Like, does the city rally behind them?
Yeah, I would say kind of the Sears Tower. I hate when people say Willis, but Sears Tower, like that biggest building we got. They did light up orange. So you did see some of the skyline with that, you know, orange and blue colorway, which was cool to see. There is definitely a little rivalry between Northwestern and Illinois as to, like, you know, who does Chicago root for.
Right.
For the most part, I would say Chicago just kind of roots for whoever's, you know, whoever's doing well. The 1 year Northwestern went to the tournament, Chicago kind of rallied behind them. 2 years ago when Loyola Chicago went to the tournament, like, the city got behind them. Because, I mean, for the most part, it's like the Bulls, you know, the Bears, Blackhawks, the Cubs. So it's like we got our teams, but we're kind of open to whoever, you know, in the state. If they're doing well, you know, the city will, you know, come and support them. So
nice. Well, loyal, faithful listeners, enjoy March Madness. That is our last topic for today. But before we actually say goodbye, Alex, we got a couple premieres this week. Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League. Came out yesterday, actually, on Thursday. And also, Winter Soldier and Falcon. Is that this week or is that next week? I think that's next week.
No, I thought it was this Friday.
This week. There we go. See, so we got two things.
Or
so,
today.
Or today. Jeez, there you go. We're recording today. So, Alex, of the two, which are you most excited for?
Man, that's tough. I guess Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Interesting.
Yeah, just I think the hype of WandaVision is kind of like, okay, I need to see something Marvel next because
I can see that.
I'm just itching. But that Justice League, though, I'm hearing good reviews from Zack Snyder's Justice League. And if not, I'm right there with Justice League as, you know, who I'm excited for.
Right. I'm definitely excited for Justice League, especially after seeing everything, the whole movie, the whole history of that movie has gone through. And I know I'm definitely pulling for Zack Snyder that it is a good movie. It's 4 hours long, so I definitely have to prepare myself for it. Well, you know, both of us will have to prepare ourselves for it. But it's,
yeah, man, I might have to break it up, man.
intermission, definitely. Right after two hours, take a little break. Go for a run or something. Get the blood flowing.
Yeah, man. Because Endgame, I mean, I don't know why I did this, but like I bought like this huge soda before.
Oh my god!
And towards the end of the movie, I was starting to feel it. I was like, I mean, I made it. Nothing happened. But, you know, if you haven't seen Endgame, I mean, well, that's your fault. Right.
But there's no way you were leaving the theater at any point.
Yeah. No, not at all. But like funeral scene, I was like, okay.
Oh my god. But I am looking forward to Winter Soldier and Falcon. That looks fun. It's gonna be a good like a buddy, you know, buddy comedy action kind of. So
right.
definitely gonna look good. All right, people, thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.